Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us. That is to say, LGBT people. But they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
A lot of people would think that the way things are going, what you see on television, what you see in the movies, what you hear by way of music, culture is dead in the United States, or maybe we've been reduced to nothing but pop culture. I don't know, but I do know that it is more and more surrounding us. That little oasis that used to be the family, that was, in a sense, a counterbalance to much of the culture, even when the culture was, well, friendly to Christianity, that oasis is getting smaller and smaller. The culture has impinged. The television is seldom turned off. The computer seldom turned off. We're so connected, and it's connecting us not only to other people, but to the culture, which has grown into whole new avenues. And of course, there is the spiritual out there in the culture. How does pop culture deal and define and express spirituality? We're going to be talking about that in the first half hour of Issues Etc. live this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 20th of September. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. For the next 2 hours, you can join us with questions or comments. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. A little bit later in this first hour, Pastor Clement Preuss will join us. We'll talk about Hollywood and Christianity. He's pastor of Glory of Christ Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. In the second hour, an hour-long conversation with Tim Gagline. He formerly served as deputy director for the White House Office of Public Liaison. He's written a new book called The Man in the Middle, an inside account of faith and politics in the George W. Bush era. That's all second hour on this Tuesday afternoon. Pastor Michael Schuerman is assistant pastor of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Dallas, Texas. He recently made a presentation at the Higher Things Youth Conference titled From Google to Gaga, Spiritual Language in Pop Culture. Pastor Schuerman, welcome back.
Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Michael, give us your best definition of pop culture.
Okay, I'll try. It's important to remember that culture is pretty much everything we encounter every day in some way, shape, or form. And when we talk about pop culture, we want to focus in on the word pop, as a short for popular. And in that sense, it's a part of our culture that is in some way designed or created or even manufactured nowadays to appeal in a way that is going to sell a lot in the U.S., but generally worldwide, that's going to appeal to the widest amount of people possible.
Is it only an issue of appeal or salesmanship? Does it have a life of its own apart from kind of the marketplace? Is it a cultural kind of a living, breathing, ever-changing thing?
Sure, absolutely it is. I don't know if it's that. I don't know if that aspect of it, that it kind of takes on a life of its own, is something that's inherent in its original creation or not. But there's no doubt about it that since it's designed to, or since it is intended to be consumed or heard or read or watched by as many people as possible, that therefore it's going to work its way into our everyday lives. You know, the old story about the water cooler, where the night before you watched some big thing on TV, and then the next day everybody's talking about it. And that just becomes part of our culture, and it ends up being a large chunk of what we talk about and what we discuss and what we read about and how we live our lives is always engaging in some way with this aspect of the culture that is labeled pop.
What is spirituality? What does it mean to be spiritual in pop culture?
Okay. The spiritual aspect of pop culture is really where, in some way, the artist is trying to get in touch with, I guess, what could be described as the non-physical side of thing. It could be the realm of ideas. It could be the realm of feelings. It could be more concretely tied specifically to some sort of religious confession or book or teaching that we might find in the world. It doesn't have to be Christianity, certainly, but you know, you'll have Buddhist ideas pop up in movies and music and TV, and you'll have Jewish ideas, certainly, and some New Age ideas, Native American religion ideas, things like that.
Sounds like it's something that one can't really escape. I mean, no more than one can escape culture itself.
Right. Absolutely. No, I don't think you can escape it.
So let's take the idea of culture apart, at least in terms, as you do, in light of the greatest commandment. Where would you point us in Scripture?
Okay. When I did the presentation, the idea was to try to focus in a bit. And so we looked at Mark 12:28, which is where the scribe, or a scribe, comes up to Jesus and asks him, "Teacher, which commandment is the most important of all?" And Jesus answers him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, etc. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." So that's the Lord's expectation for us. And because of that, we have to think about, whenever we do something, how does it fall into those, how does it fall under those two commandments, either loving God or loving your neighbor? And most of the things we do tend to fall into that second side, loving your neighbor. And with that kind of, I guess, frame of reference, then, it helps us to take a look at culture and see, is this something that's useful for me? Is this something that's useful for my neighbor? Is this something that I can use to help my neighbor be helped in the best possible way, which is to hear of Jesus and the gospel and salvation in him?
How then does Scripture, and you point us to the book of Genesis, how does it frame the question of culture? How does it begin to describe how it is God gives this commandment to people who will necessarily live in and produce a culture?
Okay. In Genesis chapter 1 specifically, in creation, God makes the world. He makes all things. He makes man. And he specifically tells man that he is to man, that is, subdue it, have dominion over it. And that means God is intending for creation to be used by man. And in fact, then later in chapter 2, it's even described by Moses as the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. And then later in verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And in those words of work the ground, work it, and earlier subdue and dominion, we find the kind of the roots of what we kind of call culture now. That is, to have dominion over something or to use it for your benefit or for your own specific uses, or to work it, or a later word is cultivate. From those words, we get our modern word of culture. It started off being very agricultural in focus, but later in the medieval period, it becomes more in having to do with the mind, where one would cultivate the mind like they would the field, and therefore we get this word culture. But when we go back to Genesis, we see that God has made all these things, all of creation, in order to use that for our benefit and to allow us to use it. And that's ultimately what culture is. It's using the stuff God has made in order to serve us and our neighbor.
So with about a minute before we take a break, the fall changes much of that, but it does not remove the command to have dominion. It does not remove God's placing man in creation to use it in service of him and of his neighbor. What changes after the fall? About a minute.
Okay. What changes is man. After the fall, of course, man is now corrupted and sinful. And so we see, while man continues to make use of the stuff God has given him, and God even tells man to continue using it, it's just that the ground will be cursed now, so the work will be more difficult. But when we see things like, you know, the Tower of Babel, or some of the erecting of the high places, temples to false gods, making of idols, these are all things where God's creation, which he has created intending for it to be to our benefit, we are now using it in a way to reject him. And Paul gets to this in Romans chapter 1 when he talks about although they, people, knew God, they didn't honor him as God, and they instead exchanged his glory for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals. So we corrupt creation to the point where we start to worship it in some ways. And so this is the corruption of culture that happens.
Pastor Michael Schuerman is our guest. We're talking about spirituality and pop culture. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition. A comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
y'all been hearing about Country Bob's all-purpose sauce and how it tastes great on any and everything you may be cooking and serving at your family dinner table. Well, over the years, I've discovered that Country Bob's is much more than that. You see, Country Bob's is that secret ingredient in many of my recipes, whether it be for chili soups or stews or that favorite marinade for the select meat of the day we're grilling. If you're interested in discovering the secret, log on to countrybobs.com and check out their blog, exchange recipes, or buy yourself a Country Bob's cookbook and become part of the Country Bob's family. And remember, it all comes down to the sauce.
I close my eyes and I can see a better day. I close my eyes and pray.
Talking about spirituality and pop culture, Pastor Michael Schuerman is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, September the 20th. Pastor Schuerman is assistant pastor of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Dallas, Texas, made a presentation recently at a Higher Things Youth Conference titled From Google to Gaga, Spiritual Language in Pop Culture. Back to the issue of culture, Pastor Schuerman, you were talking about before the fall, now man's, his creativity with the stuff of creation points away from God. Does that mean that God no longer uses stuff?
No, not at all. Just like God tends to use evil for good in all sorts of ways, he tends to use our evil use of creation and culture for his good still. But more specifically, and I think it has to be said first, is that God used stuff to give us Jesus. We had the first in the beginning with the Genesis text. And then we have a second in the beginning in the Bible in John chapter 1. And there we have God revealing to us that the Word, or the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so there, in that those words made flesh, we have a very real use of stuff by God to give us even more than he'd given us before, in fact, not temporal things, but instead eternal things in his Son, and of course what his Son had come to do. So there we have God, in a sense, redeeming the culture through using it to first give us his Son in the flesh, and now, and before as well, using the culture and the words in the culture and the music we might sing or hear, and the things we might see on TV or movies, God can in some ways use those to bring us his truth in different, I guess, different effectiveness, however, depending on the piece of art.
I want to get to that in a minute, especially with regard to discernment. But before we get into the discernment, there is a kind of, well, I guess you could call it discernment, that many Christians opt for when confronted with the culture. It's pretty binary. They think, well, pop culture, the worldly culture, off limits. I just simply wall that off. And the goal, since we have to have culture, the goal is to have kind of the Christian subculture. So my music is going to be Christian. My art is going to be Christian. My television and my movies are all going to be Christian.
Uh-huh.
What do you make of that?
Well, I think it's misguided. I don't doubt the sincerity of the people who are doing it. I think it's worthy to try to limit what we take in that is not helpful. But at the same time, trying to create a subculture like that is ultimately, I think, trying to create some sort of Christian utopian ideal within the culture, that you just can't do it because we live in the world. I mean, in order to accomplish that, we're going to have to completely withdraw ourselves from everything. You can't go to school, you can't have a TV, you certainly can't read most books, can't turn on the radio, etc. Obviously, that's very difficult. And I think the biggest drawback of it is that when we withdraw ourselves from the world in that way, we are withdrawing our ability and our opportunity to be with the world, those who don't already know Christ, haven't heard the message of the gospel, and that sort of thing. we're not there to bring those words of promise and hope to them. And so if we withdraw completely, or if we try to create a completely separate subculture, we're really just trying to make something, a Christian's club. And that's not what God intends for us to do.
Then let's talk about that discernment, if you would. What are the important questions that anyone who consumes the culture, but I think in the case of many of our young people, we got to admit it's the music, largely,
right?
Music and movies. Anyone who is consuming this, what are the important discernment questions that need to be answered?
Okay. I came up with four when I prepared for this presentation. And the first one to ask is, what sort of language is used? This is trying to tell if it's spiritually intended or not. Do you have spiritual language? Do you have secular language? Spiritual language, like you played Lady Gaga's Judas on the out from the last segment, and in that you've got all sorts of spiritual language. You've got pictures of the disciples, and obviously the song's called Judas, and you've got Jesus in there and sin, and all these sort of things are spiritual language. And on the other side, secular language, you've got things like, this is kind of a silly example, but a chair. And if someone has a song about a chair, that's wonderful. But we're going to ask what kind of language we're using. Because if the language is spiritual, we need to pay even more attention, I think. Second question is, once we've kind of identified the language, we need to talk about, what's the main point of the song? What's it teaching me or telling me? In the case of the Lady Gaga song, there's something going on where she's in the chorus is, I'm still in love with Judas. I'm just a holy fool. Baby, he's so cruel. I'm still in love with Judas. And so there's something going on about loving the wrong guy, or it's hard to tell with that song. It's a little bit opaque, the meaning. Justin Bieber's song, which you played on Coming Back In from the break, there we've got a point where, he sees suffering, and he feels that the thing he needs to do is pray. That's what he's telling us. And it's actually not a bad message. Then the third thing, once we've kind of established what's the main point, what sort of language is being used, the third question to ask, is it encouraging or condoning sin? If it's condoning sin, most of the time our best reaction to it is to just put it aside, not to utilize it too much, chiefly because if we're allowing that in to ourselves through our ears or our eyes, it's just not going to be very helpful. It's good to recognize this, though, because we're going to have friends or people we come in contact with who may really love this song, and we can help to start a discussion about the topic and what it's encouraging or condoning, if it is, in fact, encouraging or condoning sin. We can open up a discussion on that by at least kind of knowing the song, knowing what it's talking about. And that kind of leads into the fourth question, then, which is this song helpful for discussion of truth? Truth being what God has revealed to us about ourselves and about Jesus in his word. And, for example, in the case of the Justin Bieber song, Pray, he's encouraging prayer when he sees the suffering. And that's a good thing, because we are commanded by God to pray for ourselves and for our neighbors. Now, he doesn't get everything right, certainly, in the song. It's not a good song to use as actually teaching about the theology of prayer. But it is a good song to lead into a discussion about prayer and what God promises us about prayer, what God wants of us as Christians in terms of asking him things and that sort of thing.
Some of the music that's popularly consumed does tell the truth, tells it in a very earthy way. I'm thinking about music that most Christians would say is just completely out of bounds, and that would be hip-hop or rap.
Uh-huh.
And they say, look, it's talking about a real life out there, but it's something I'd prefer not to think about, and it's often couched in the language of the streets, and it's often misogynistic, it's often quite violent as well. Some of it tells the truth, describes it, some of it actually encourages it. Do you make a distinction there?
I think you do. You certainly make a distinction between encouraging it and just talking about it. There's some pretty earthy stuff in the Bible, too, and it doesn't encourage it. And I'm certainly not equating God's word with some of what you might hear in terms of rap music or something like that. But the point is that I think we can be discerning. Well, this topic came about because a youth group member asked me about the Lady Gaga song Judas. And that's a senior youth member of this congregation. And when it comes to different ages, able to handle different things, more worldliness in the sense of experience with the world, I think that different people can handle different amounts of this. And someone can listen to a song or watch a movie that, in fact, portrays something very gritty, very realistic, maybe even something that in many ways is sinful, but isn't condoning it. In other words, it's presenting it as a reality of life. And whether it actually takes that reality of life and sin in that life and goes the next step and presents the solution to that sin in the song or the television show movie or not, it can still be a stepping off point for the Christian to discuss with their fellow Christian or with a fellow non-Christian. As to whether a Christian should be listening to, you know, gangster rap or not, my personal opinion is I don't think it's the best thing by any stretch of the imagination. But there is a lot of freedom that those people have, and certainly that's a very good discussion for parents to have with their children. If only that would happen more often, I think we'd have a lot more good critical thinking and critical processing of what we allow to go into our ourselves through our eyes and our ears.
Pastor Michael Schuerman is assistant pastor at Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Dallas, Texas. He made a presentation recently at a Higher Things Youth Conference titled From Google to Gaga, Spiritual Language in Pop Culture. Michael, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
When we come back, we'll be talking about Hollywood and Christianity. Pastor Clement Preuss will be our guest.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The recent 10th anniversary of 9/11 was particularly gut-wrenching for Americans, especially those who lost loved ones in the terrorist attacks or later on battlefields in the Middle East. It's been a tragic reminder of the preciousness of innocent human life. 10 years ago, Americans went to their knees, seeking the face of God to get us through this unspeakable tragedy. So it was especially appalling New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg banned religious leaders from taking part in the 10-year anniversary commemoration. Reverend Richard Land recalled, "Nobody was turning religious leaders away from the scene 10 years ago." He's right. If there's ever a time to call out to God, it's on September 11. Imagine our Lord's sadness at being turned away from ground zero.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.